This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasodi. One of Malaysia's best known percussion groups, the Hands Percussion Team, have been at the forefront of a Chinese drum revolution, working tirelessly both here and abroad to promote and preserve this Chinese Malaysian cultural heritage. Their explosive shows are known to incorporate theatrical elements, other contemporary percussion styles and diverse Southeast Asian instruments. And their latest performance, Souls in Love, will undoubtedly be no different, while promising new elements to. The team are celebrating their 15th anniversary this year, and Bernard Goh, the co-creator and artistic director of Hands Percussion, together with musical director of Souls in Love, Susan Sarah John, share what they've got planned for the performance. How are both of you today?
Fine, thank you.
You know, Bernard, 15 years, did you ever dream the team would ever come this far?
Not at all, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, so we just started, like, you know, with a bunch of guys who like to banging around after school. Mm-hmm. So slowly, then I find it, we must take it seriously.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I asked for the space in school, so that we getting serious. Every weekends, we just gather together. Don't know why. No movie, no other things, just drumming.
Right.
So slowly, I say, I must take it to another level. So I quit my job. I do it full time. Mm-hmm. And then luckily I have a bunch of guys are still with me, thanks God. So very fast, 15 right. years, oh my God.
And this is when you were in secondary school, is it?
Oh, yes,
right.
Yes.
And that's when it got started.
Yeah.
What was it that drew you to the drums in the first place? Or was it just only percussions, or was it just drums?
Honestly speaking, actually I'm in school band.
The outdoor band?
Outdoor band,
oh,
yes.
Yes.
Marching band. I'm a trumpeter. Then slowly I changed to tuba, the bass. When I was appointed to become the drum major, so I got nothing to do. If they're doing indoor practicing song, I just sit aside.
Yeah, because your work was to flip that.
Yes,
what's it called?
Yes, the maze. The maze.
Yes,
to order around. Like.
So that's why I say, okay, I sit around. So I sit near the percussionist every time. So then I find it, oh, it's so cool, you know, especially a girls player, you know, those days that it's all the girls with the snare drums.
Yes.
So I learned from them. I say, oh, this is cool, you know. So that's why I start picking up. And then 1990s, I still remember, is a Chinese cultural festival in our state, Negeri Sembilan. So the 24, very well-known 24 festive drums were brought over. But I think it's some I don't know what's the problem. The team from Johor Bahru, the first team from Malaysia, the first team that have formed, cannot make it. So they plan to have another team in Seremban. So who else? That's why they will pick like Pancharaga members.
Of
that's
course.
Why school band members, mm-hmm. because we can pick up very fast. So that's why I started. I said, oh, come on, let's do it. Because it's so cool, you know, all the Chinese drum, you know, banging, and then all, no, not topless lah, but everyone with the
not
head
at that stage.
Yeah, not at that stage, yes. Everyone with the headgear, you know, it looks so stunning that time. Because now it's very familiar, they're very normal, very
common,
so common already. But that time, it really is a big hit, you know.
Right.
So then how I started with the very traditional 24 festive drum. But slowly, I find it a bit like, okay lah, because it's like 5 years from the banging, right? People don't want to see anymore. You get what I mean? They were really like, okay, I know. Because
it
I watched
was no
this
long,
before.
Yeah.
No longer like, you know, interesting anymore. That's
right.
Why I put myself into the scene where I meet all my fellow friends in music, dance, theatre, So I just want to get new elements to bring it in, mm-hmm. to put it in.
To spice it up.
Yes.
Which school did you go to, Bernard?
From Chanwa.
Seremban.
Seremban.
Convent Seremban.
Really?
Yes. Oh. Fancy meeting you here.
Yeah. Actually, I coached convent school before.
Yes.
Yes.
We had our own Pancharagam.
Yes. Mm.
what a so small funny. World, yes. isn't it? Sorry, Susan, if you just sort of felt left out.
No, suddenly I felt ganged up. I'm not from Seremban, but my sisters are from Negeri Sembilan.
Oh, really? Okay.
Close enough.
Close enough, yeah.
But who nurtured that talent? I mean, who guided you, Bernard, to
There's
sort
a
of
few
play?
Mental, you know. In Chinese realm, of course, is my late Sifu Tan Fui Song. The father of 24 Festive Drum. I really want to thank him because he's a musician. He's a musician that, you know, we can go very freely in our creativities because I always ask his opinion. He always gives me the, okay, go ahead, Bernard, go ahead. No worries. Because why? Because he related some of those traditional things. But he himself is very liberal. He's very free thinker. He say, you can go ahead. But some of those typical... I don't want to mention, you know, that Chinese society, they say, no, Chinese drum, you're not supposed to do like that. Chinese drum, you're supposed to do, you know, I mean, respect, you cannot jump on it, you cannot cross, you cannot do.
Right.
But my sifu say, don't bother, it's okay. Okay, it's my creation. So I give you the, you know, I mean, the permission you can do. But, you know, some very, you know, I mean, we say
conservative.
Conservative, yes, that's the word. But now he's gone. He was gone, I mean, 2 years ago. I think it's a lot more criticism, you know. But I keep on doing what we believe. Okay, I think it's a must for me to explore and for my group to explore. And then luckily I have friends, you know, who are willing to really like fight and then willing to do crazy stuff with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think especially this time round, I think the show, I think the sincerity is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think sincerity is important in anything that you do,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
As long as you believe in it,
yeah.
and you're sincere about it.
Yeah.
This is the same thing with prayer, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
But originally, the Chinese drums was used what? In dragon dance, lion dance?
Yeah.
Where did it originate from?
From southern part of China, mm-hmm. Guangzhou, and then Hokkien also. That two provinces is well known on this. Yeah, it's for dragon dance and lion dance, especially the dark color, the black color, and then with a red rattan. It's very like significant. You look at it, you remind me. Ayon, you listen to it, you remind me of the Chinese New Year.
Yep.
I mean, it's in festive season. We use that drum usually, but for me, I think I want to really bring it up to another level.
So, are you saying that nobody in China has ever done this?
No.
Oh, so yes. You're the first.
Yeah, we are the first. Don't say I am the first. So, yeah.
But how has the Chinese community taken to this?
Honestly speaking, we only performed in China once, in Nanning.
Were they but impressed? No.
I think yes, of course. They say, oh, why this Chinese can do something like this? We never thought of. Okay, when we are doing, I mean, something that out of their mind, but they are okay. They're really okay. That now they are big name. I mean, they can do whatever they want. So, but for us, I think the environment or the cultural that nurture us so much. That's why when we now perform in other country, right? They're really not related us to China or Hong Kong or even Taiwan last time we have these difficulties like identities, no? They look at us are you from mainland China? I say no. Oh, I mean, we are Chinese, you know. They look at us
sure.
as like one type, we say. So now it's the playing from the costume, from the instrument that we pick, everything. Now I merge in some gamelan. So because I'm not being, because I want to put gamelan so that it shows us it's different. No, because we grow up in this environment.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very normal for me to put it in.
Right. So obviously, yeah, it sort of merged into the sort of music that you do quite naturally.
Yeah.
Susan, I think most people associate you with your work with another famed Malaysian percussion group, the Gamelan Troupe, Rhythm in Bronze.
Yes.
What drew you to Gamelan? I mean, being an Indian girl yourself.
I think because I'm so not Indian, that's what drew me to Gamelan. I blame that on my parents.
I think most of us are pretty Malaysian in our ways.
Yes, Malaysian, and you know, growing up with parents is, English is important, and the British kind of, you know, approach where, yes, you're Indian, but you must be very good in English and you must go to English school and stuff like that.
Right.
Which eventually I felt I was blessed and lucky that my parents allowed me to, you know, mix with a lot of people, and, you know, they were not, they were quite funky in that matter. Not every department of life, but in that matter. So what drew me to Gamelan was it's very interesting because I actually first watched my Gamelan performance when I was studying in, at that time known as ASK, now it's known as Aswara. And I was watching, go like, oh, it's very sweet, very nice, but I don't think I will play it. And decided to choose Wayang Kulit instead, where I learned under the late Pak Hamza for 4 years. And then while I was studying there, someone called Sunetra Fernando, the founder and creator of Rhythm in Bronze, came to me and said, Susan, why don't you come and, you know, jam with us? And I go like, Gamelan, okay, it's sweet and nice, but not really my cup of tea. And then she introduced me to her music, which is actually the heart and the soul of what the music of Rhythm in Bronze was born into, was Sunetra Fernando's compositions. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, you actually can play Gamelan like this. And what really impressed me was not actually the Gamelan playing differently, but to be able to be given the opportunity to see that you can actually do anything you want with music. And whatever limitations that you think you have with the instrument is actually your own limitations.
Exactly.
So that was like a small epiphany of like, you know, I was not being very creative before this.
Right. But plus, I also think there was some element of respect.
Yes,
in that
also.
You don't want to misuse or portray the gamelan in the light, which some people wouldn't be happy with, like the Chinese drums, you know. But now that you're out of that, you're just, you know, going straight ahead, you know, to continue with the work that you do. So how did you meet Bernard?
We met at unofficially was Teh Tare, and, you know, because we had the same kind of performance in the same area. Like at that time our hub was the Dataran Merdeka underground, so it used to be a high, you know, sort of thing. Then eventually we collaborated as performers in 1999 for Rhythm in Bronze first concert, known as Rhythm in Bronze. It was the introduction to the name of the group and the name of the concert in 99. So we collaborated as performers. Then later on we worked together for a theatre production called The Box of Delights. That was a compositional collaboration where we instead of performing together, we co-composed a lot of things. And then later on,
you got Swara, right?
Yes, we had Swara. At that time, it's Gamelan Club's Swara performance, back to being performers on stage. And later on, with
Monkey Business,
directed by the late Krishan Jit. Also co-composers and collaborators. That was like of our stage really sort of like a journey in relationship.
So you guys go back a pretty long way, actually.
Yes. Oh.
But him longer because he's older.
I'm fine with it.
I'm younger than him, by the way, everyone.
I'm not going to reveal my age.
So
coming up, we'll find out more about the performance Souls in Love on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon, it's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodhi. With me are Bernard Goh, co-creator and artistic director of Hands Percussion, together with Susan Sarah John, a musical director, on the performance titled Souls in Love. So, you know, just to go back a little, Bernard, your team plays a huge part in all of this. Who makes up the team exactly?
Me?
Oh. me, myself, me.
No. Eric, Alan, me, three of us, the three musketeers. And then now we have about 6 admin and then 14 full-time. 14 full-time include like 6 coaches and then 8 full-time players,
right,
or performers.
At any one stage, how many performers go on stage?
This time, for yes. Souls in Love, mm-hmm. I think it's about 20.
Wow.
Yeah, 24, I think. 20? But it's not 24.
24
but not
drummers.
Not all on stage, you know. I will explain later.
Okay.
Because this time I stayed it at experimental theatre work, so it's only like a few drumming section in this show.
Okay.
Again, 2 hours, 2 hours.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Instead of keeping me in suspense, yeah, could you quickly tell me what Souls in Love? I'm dying to know now.
Okay.
What can we expect? And why Souls in Love?
Yeah. I always inspired by my family. The real one, or I so-called real one, my father, my parents, my grandpa.
Your biological family.
Yes, and then hence is my family. So I really want to do something for them or inspired by them for them. So last year, I spent about 2 months in London, abroad. So I keep on asking myself, what's the love, you know, that really like drive me to this? And then after like 15 years, because I've been in this since like drumming since for about 22 years. So this, I formed it hands about 15 years ago. So from standard 4, standard 3, those students are now their father.
Wow.
They're still with me. That's right. Thanks God. I think this is some bounding, you know, the trust and belief. So I want to do it more. Not only like go on stage and entertain. So it's quite risky for me to take out this time. Explore some theater, work with them, some very inner, you know, feeling to ask them to really perform. So it's a special things I brought up. I put my moms on stage also. Well, she will be very like, you know, I mean, excited at the beginning, mm-hmm, but slowly when go into the real rehearsal, a bit freak out, a bit. So my fellow members also, Bernard, why are you so mean to your mom? Okay, come on, let auntie relax. And I said, no, this is something I want my mom to be, you know, I mean, relaxed also. It's something that, you know, I want her to portray. That's what I feel for her. So now she's enjoying it now.
She still plays the drums?
No. She's a narrator in one of the parts, and then she will sing.
You know, when you mentioned risks just now, I mean, I would be more concerned that for 22 years you've been doing this.
Yeah.
It was a huge risk in that. Do you work full time?
Yeah.
You have a full time job, or is this full time?
This is full time.
Full time.
Yeah.
And there isn't much money in this.
No.
So, you know, it's risky.
It's risky.
Yeah. It is.
But it's a must for me to do it, Mira.
Did you have people supporting you financially?
Initially, this time, no. Some yes, you know. I mean, it's just for this project. But long term, no. Yeah, I have to say that, no.
Mm.
So 15 years. Can you imagine? Self-funded, yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, still standing.
And still going.
Still going.
Why Souls in Love?
Because I think for me, I think that's why it's very interesting that we spoke about, you know, self-funding and then we talk about love. I think what really keeps us going all these years, apart from, you know, all those risks, how we face those risks, is because we really, really love what we're
doing.
I think that's what keeps us sane. That's what keeps us, I mean, we'll be lying if we say we don't wake up and go like, what are we doing? You know, so we're not making money. This is so much work. We work 16 hours a day, 12 hours a day. Yeah. You know, we should be earning like, we should be billionaires by now, technically, if we claim all our hours. Yes. But I think love, we are really, really in love with what we do. And I don't know whether it's like we are just consoling ourselves, but that's what keeps us going.
Yeah.
We still love what we're doing, and we're not, you know, we're not bored. We're not out of love for what we do. So I think it's very significant that this performance deals with love. And why this concert, Souls in Love, is about the journey of how you find love. It can be through hate.
Yeah.
It can be the cliche way that everybody knows about. So it's that journey really to find love and what you think love is and what you accept as love.
Actually, it's so quite, those are like, yeah, for my friends, say, oh, you're doing love. Everyone is doing love. Dance also love. Drama also love. Sitcom also love. But why, you know? I would say it's different because I find it, I'm single now. I'm still single now.
Forget your phone number.
Yeah, no.
At the end.
So that's why I think I have to say I want to explore, like, you know, what is love all about? What is something that you can't see, but it's really in everyday, in our life? So is it some kind of things that, you know, motivate me? I must find the strength for me to really can go on, you know. After all those obstacles, you know, I mean, in the group, in life, in work, but it's something there. Okay, for very simple, mom's always there, parents always there, but after all, right, you have to really like connect to yourself again, you know. It's quite hard. Why just now I say risk, because the members, they are our age range is so different. So if you share this thing to a performer who is 20 years old, maybe it's fate, you know, they will do whatever you want. But I want to really like pull out, you know, the feeling, what you feel about this love. Okay, if like for girlfriend, boyfriend, it's very easy. But if you want to explain more to them, right, it's a risk for me to explore, me and Susan also.
Right.
Me and
Susan. So how did you do that? How did you draw that passion out of each and every player?
You're still trying to draw it.
Yeah.
Up till show day. So I think even when we start performing, it's still a process of them finding it till the end of the performance. And I think it's more of like we wanted to do something that will really influence their life through their performance. It's not just, okay, I'm a performer, I come and perform 8 to 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock and I go out. We wanted to sort of create a platform for them to really explore things that they never get to explore and bring it to their life as a performer and to be a different performer for some, maybe another performance that they do later on or for their future. So we felt that it has to be more significant to your life outside of being a performer that makes you a better performer or greater performer.
As a musical director, what was that journey like, putting the whole Souls in Love together?
It's not difficult because Bernard knows what he wants. Sometimes can be difficult because when you work with people who really know what they want, it's like you have to sort of bargain.
This is your chance, you can bet.
Yes. On public radio, it's like, yay! You know, it's like, but it's a good kind of stubborn. It's a stubborn that I like and stubborn that I am also. I mean, we are stubborn, I think, in a very professional manner.
Yes.
So it wasn't difficult because Bern is very clear about his artistic direction. Mm-hmm. So like I said, it's more about like trying to pitch to him, like I said, Bern, I think this works for your vision. Mm-hmm. And I like to work with people's vision. I don't really demand ownership on ideas and work. So it's not really a problem for me.
So what did you bring to the table? Was it the gamelan part, Susan, the gamelan part of it?
I think anything that had to incorporate sound or represent sound in the performance, I would say sound would be a safer thing, the sound element in the performance. And I think it also overlaps a little bit with sound and, you know, how that sound is performed, whether it's a visual thing or a non-visual thing, or whether you want the audience to just hear it, not see it, kind of concept.
You know, Bernard, when you talk about hands percussion, people would imagine drums, right? So why an artistic director? You just have to drum, what?
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking like, you know, just now the topics about how you know pull the members, I think it's quite, I can answer this one, I mean related. For instance, the girls I'm work with, one very like, you know, I mean young, for this particular piece called Do You See Me? Do You See Me? So I think for them it's like, last time they used to be like, okay, I have some difficulties in life, I go drumming so I can really release, you know. But now in the show itself, I want her to face her difficulties, the obstacles, you know, I mean, you have to really like face it, and then you, it's very hard to say you perform it, you know, perform it, but you have to deal with it, because you have to speak through the performance.
Right.
So this is something very, very rare for her lah, because she's the one very young. I particularly pick her because she got issue. She got issue a bit. So I think I must make you become a performer. This is a journey. It's a transform lah for me as a director.
But doesn't it make it more difficult for you to deal with people like that?
Yes.
How long did it take you to put all of this together?
It's different. It's different. Some of the pieces,
long.
Very long.
Putting the idea.
Yes, yeah, you know, it's very just long. Like digesting,
brainstorming.
Yeah.
So I think some of the pieces is about, we started like half a year ago. Some of it are like 2 months or 3 months, 4 months. It's not the same. It's not the same. Yeah.
Okay. Who are some of your collaborators? Did you collaborate with anyone else?
Yes. We have Ng Teck Woon from Amsterdam. He's a dance choreographer. And then Feng Chen Hui, a violinist from New York. Actually, they are all Malaysian, Mira. Zixiong, Wong Zixiong from Taiwan.
How did you hook up with all of them?
They are all my friends.
Right.
My students. Yeah, my student, my friend. Oh, I'm so old.
But you've done well. I mean, they have gone on to do, you know, bigger things, larger things.
Yeah.
And it's great that they're coming back to inject some of that, you know, worldliness into your performance.
Yeah.
How many pieces have you worked on in Souls in Love? I mean, together. Is it just one piece or?
It's sort of like a bit of an unconventional process for both of us as artistic and musical. We sort of like go side by side, and we because we were together from the birth of sort of like the birth of each performance, each piece, that we go like, oh, okay, that's why I say it sort of overlaps the work.
Yeah.
So it's not really a conventional way, like, okay, Bernard comes up with the staging and I do the music. It's sort of like, oh, you know, it vice versa, the music might inspire the piece or the piece might inspire a certain form of music.
Okay, so no one particular piece per se.
Yes. No.
It sort of links from one to another. And hence, is that why you sort of tag this as very experimental?
Very.
Very.
Like when I said there's like, I think, a cumulative like 10 minutes of drumming.
Two hours.
You've got drumming. I mean, you did mention a dancer. Is there dance involved as well?
I would like to say movement rather than dance.
The drummers actually move?
Movement, yes.
Music.
Sort of like a physical movement.
A lot of singing.
And
oh my God.
Yes. And movement, singing.
You almost look surprised, Bennett. Huh? Didn't you know that there was singing involved until now?
Yeah. I think everything on radio becomes clearer.
Now it is experimental.
Yeah.
You sure you're not going to change your mind from now until the 9th?
No.
Because I'll redo the whole interview.
I won't. Okay. I'll be on stage again, Mira.
All right.
That's something that very like exciting for me.
You haven't, normally you don't perform, is it?
I think
when was the last time you?
Last time I performed, not in Malaysia, it's in Vietnam, 2 years back. So in Malaysia, I think Monkey Business is 2006.
Okay. How have you been able to relate to the works by Hands Percussion, Susan?
I think primarily it's because Gamelan is also very percussive. So when Bernard approached me to sort of like explore Gamelan with Hands, I felt like, oh, it's very interesting. I can sort of explore the percussive side of Gamelan. And so that's how I sort of related to Hands Percussion. And also because during my affiliation with Rhythm in Bronze, we worked a lot with Hands Percussion. So we were quite familiar of how the Chinese drums work with the gamelan.
Right.
And it was quite an interesting surprise. We were like, hey, this really works. And it's very interesting. They are both percussions, but they're so different. But when you blend them together, it's really interesting. So,
you know, Bernard, would you encourage more and more younger children to be exposed to percussions?
Of course.
Why?
Because I think it's very direct. For instance, we're teaching in the field, like, so not the field, actually 27 school in Klang Valley. Okay. And the far, I think, is Sandakan. Now we are teaching in Sandakan.
Okay.
But not every week. I think it's every 3 months we send our trainer there. I think it's very well disciplined, the student that we train. It's very funny, I can put it, Chinese drum players and the Western drum player, because that is individual, this is solo, that is solo. But Chinese drum player, we must do together.
Yep.
Must do together. So then I'm the school band members. I use all those like discipline, like you have to masubaris, you know. I relate them. I just join them together. So you must know how to drill. Chinese drum, can you imagine? Chinese drum, you know how to drill, fall in, and then all those stuff. And then,
what do you mean by drill?
Drill is like they have to march, they have to fall in a group, you know, not like traditional, they just play and then come with the drumstick, then they just bang around. No.
Right.
So discipline comes first.
Discipline.
Yeah. Discipline comes first.
That is so Chinese.
Yes, that's
you know,
why.
That's form of discipline. Yeah.
But the playing, that's mean that I want it to be more free. So the patterns that I put it in is very Western. So we play in rudiments that the Western drummers will do. Paradiddles, you know, you name it. You know, all those stuff. So I think it's a good way. That's why it's formed in Malaysia, this 24 Festive Drum. It's not from China.
Right.
It's only the drums from China.
Okay.
I think the contemporary that we try is not just about the end product of the performance, but the process that we do to get the music done. Even the process is contemporary. So we do emphasize that it's important to have basics, important to have techniques for you to really be contemporary.
Yeah.
It's like you mentioned, you know, you're worried that if it's contemporary, you might not respect the older thing.
That's
but
right.
Basic is the same. Traditional, contemporary, you need the basic techniques.
Yeah.
You need the, so we do emphasize on that. But the creation of what you want to do with your skill, that's, you know, that's the other thing also we try and explore. But we do make it clear that you need to have some form of discipline, some form of basic technique for you to create or explore more.
Yeah, I always have this mind and then this concept for youngsters is that you make them love something before you really go, you know, I mean, details on it. I cannot like ask them to do drill or, you know, be on
straight
time.
Away.
No,
yes.
They fall in love with these drums. When they got fever, they're sick, right? They just ask their mom, say, I want to go to Chinese drum training. So the mom say, I don't know what's the
attraction.
What
attraction
drugs
you're
giving?
What drugs you're using on my kids. But I never felt in my he was like in love with this kind of activities before.
Right.
But slowly you nurture them after they fall in love. And that's the tactic and that's the way.
I think in general, a lot of educators don't really go to that approach because it's much more burden, much more difficult for the person who's teaching.
It's hard work. Mm.
Yes, it's hard work when you teach them, them being passionate about it, then you bring in the skills. It's very, very difficult. That's why I think generally, like in schools, they make you learn stuff first before you actually fall in love with it.
Yeah.
So it's actually a lot of work on the person who's training.
Right.
Yeah, to go like, okay, now you love it, but now you have to, if you really want to be good at it, this is what you need.
Right.
Yeah.
At least they have the option.
Yes,
do correct. Do they have to be trained in other areas like yoga and drama and things like that?
Yes, my group did. Yeah.
Why is
all,
that?
Because they are now no longer accompany the lion dance, so you are not focused on the lion or the dragon. It's the performers themselves. So instead of you want to become a performer, right, you need everything that become on stage. You need theatrical knowledge. You need your body to move like a dancer. But I don't want them to really become a dancer. You must know your body more. So that's why I put in all those, like, you know, I mean, classes for them.
You've made it very contemporary, but what about, have you made it multiracial as well in terms of the group members?
I don't want them to be very, like, because of that, I want to be,
not consciously.
I don't want, like, okay, I want to pull in one, you know, I mean, Malay players or Indian player. Or,
the reason I ask is because you find a lot of drummers in the lion and dragon dance troops now.
Yeah.
A lot of Indians, a lot of, you know, other races.
Yeah.
But have you had people interested?
I have one. Ham is... It's not Malay, but I think he's Bidayu.
Okay.
Bidayu, yeah. But others, I think, just normal. Because the music speak for itself, the instrument also, because we got gamelan, we got sitar, we got tabla, we got gendang, you know. I mean, just the sound is right, then I pick it. The player, I don't think so. I don't think it's the player, but I think what you mean is like the music, the whole thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
As well as
it's come naturally. Yeah. It come naturally. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your final cell, Susan, as to why we should all come and watch Souls in Love.
come and say that, are we on the right track or not? Or when it's in, this doesn't really work, or this sincerely, yeah, it's not really a performance to state. It's not a performance that has a statement in particular, or it's like this is what Hands is after 15 years. I think what we are inviting people is to come and support us on this new journey that we are trying to explore together. So come with an open heart, open mind, and open thought, not what has been given, you know, Hands been given an image before this.
Yeah.
We sort of like, you can call it cosmetic surgery or, I don't know, new makeover. But,
and,
yeah.
Sorry. And yeah. From the co-creator of this very revolutionary kind of drumming.
For drumming me, I style. Think just come and then see what we will get from this show. I think some of the parts, right, everyone will pick up some of your memories back.
Can relate to.
Yeah, can relate to. Or those, I think some of the part is my story, or maybe my story with the members, or with my parents. But I think everyone can get a bit of it.
How long is the show?
It's the working timing now is about
2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes. But I will really like have to squeeze it down a bit. Yeah.
Okay. Alright. Why is that? Because everyone's getting tired.
Not really. I think a good show is not that, you know, something that you have to be very long. But
yeah.
You have to really straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we are still working on it.
You can catch Souls in Love from the 9th to the 12th of August at Pentas 2 in KL Pack. Tickets are priced at R88 for adults, R58 for concessions, which you can purchase by calling 03-4047-9000 or online at elasotickets.com. You can also walk in either the KL Pack or the Actors Studio box office to get your tickets. For more information, do visit klpack.org or you can log on to hands.my. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Bernard Goh, the co-creator and artistic director of Hands Percussion, together with Susan Sarah John, musical director of the performance titled Souls in Love on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.